1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 4. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented, gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. As David's props began to be taken away, one after the other, he probably began to doubt the promises that God had made him so long ago. But after a while, people began to show up at David's cave. First, his family came. Then the defeated and the downtrodden men of Israel, they began to show up. David's family came out of fear of Saul. The rest came because they believed David was God's man for the future. They all cast in their lot with David. God used this motley group of people to show David that he still had a plan for David's life. I don't know how God will do it, but somehow while you are in your cave, he will come to where you are and confirm his faithfulness and his promises to you. God will use, maybe as he did with Elijah. He had his ravens, Moses had his burning bush, Jesus had his empty tomb. God has a way of showing up and showing us that it'll be all right. God has all of his ravens and burning bushes and empty tombs and caves. When David's family and the malcontents of Israel showed up, it probably added to David's burden at first, which was also, Psalm 57 was also written during this time. And it expresses that thought in verse 4. Look with me at Psalm 57, verse 4. "My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." At first, the malcontents came. Those downtrodden, those defeated. And at first, they may have been a burden to David, but the Lord transformed these men. Psalm 57 gives us a little hint of that. Yet, David rises to the challenge, and the truth of his character was revealed in what he did during those times. Those cave experiences. He took measures to care first for his elderly parents, and then he rose up and he led these men. In other words, instead of breaking under the pressure of the moment, David's heart was revealed. The cave will reveal what's truly in your heart. David, the leader, rose to the challenge and he led. But it took pain and problems to squeeze that out of him. It was the same with Job. Just as it did in the life of David, suffering and pain will reveal exactly, as I said, what we have in our hearts. Pain and suffering reveals the hearts. Take Job, for example. He suffered. Look at Job 1, 20 and 21. Even though Job suffered, lost his family, lost his land, lost his possessions, lost his health. But yet, look at Job 1, verses 20 and 21. "Then Job arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground, and he worshipped." Notice, he worshipped. "And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" What happens when you get squeezed? What happens? Do you get bitter? Do you get angry? Or do you display integrity and you keep on praising the Lord, knowing that He's in control and He'll work all things out for His glory? Suffering exposes your heart like few other things can, in spite of what the circumstances said about David and the situation. David held on to the promises of God. And Psalm 57 is just peppered with that. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful. My soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wings I'll make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I'll cry out to God Most High, the God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. They've prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. That is how David dealt with his cave experience. That is how David dealt with suffering and heartache and pain. He held on to the Lord and to God's promises. He didn't give up, even when most others would have. He knew that God would come through in His time. If we could only display that kind of commitment in our own hearts, in our own lives. When the pressure is on, we're not to turn on the Lord, but to remain committed to the Lord. He knows what He's doing, and He will not fail you. So why would you want to fail Him? Nothing demonstrates our level of commitment to God than our continued obedience and faithful service, especially when we are in the caves of life. When we are locked up, caves make for hard living, but they're not altogether bad, brothers and sisters. There are some refreshing discoveries to be made in the caves of life. First, David's family comes to him in that cave. Here are people who used to doubt David. His own father ignored him. His oldest brother publicly rebuked him and criticized him. Now they see in the man before them God's man and God's choice for king. The one they formerly would have passed over is now the one that they turn to and help for help. It seems that the caves of life have the potential to bring out our best. Don't despise the caves. Don't despise the storms. The storms that God brings in your life. As a preacher, I've seen many people suffer terrible things. I'm always fascinated by how people respond to the pain that they're called upon to bear. I've seen some crumble under the load. They've fallen apart, sunk down into the pit of self-pity. But there have been others who, despite the great load of suffering they were forced to carry, that they rose to the challenge. And they tapped into a source of strength that they did not know that they possessed. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. People can be changed by their experience. And others are changed by watching them go through it. You see, it's not that the storms you weather that define you. It's the way that you weather the storms. And it is not the storms, but it's how you weather the storms. These men that gathered around David were there because they were fed up with Saul. The distress, they came to David. This word means to be under stress, to be under pressure. We're told that those who were in debt came. This speaks of those who cannot pay their bills, the discontented, they came. This word refers to those that are bitter, those that have been mistreated, distressed, in debt, discontented. It was a group of hundreds of people who have suffered under the tyranny and taxation of Saul, and they're fed up. And how many people around you are suffering under the tyranny of Satan, of the devil? And they're looking to be led. The people in our text, they go to David because they believe that he is God's man for Israel. How many are listening today? How many men? How many women? You are God's person there to lead those around you, those in your neighborhood, those in your family, those in your church. I'm sure that David could not see in his life what they saw. At that time, David could only see defeat and discouragement. He's in the cave. Paul, he was in the prison. Well, David could only see the cave. Those who came to him could see the crown. They knew that the Lord had his hand upon David. And the Lord directed them to David. What was it about David? What was it about David that they gathered themselves around him and believed in him, even while he was in the cave? The way he responded to the cave. Notice, during this time, when you're in the cave, God will bring encouragers into your life. God will bring people into your life that can see the potential in your life. When you see nothing good in yourself, there are others that see what the Lord is doing. You may not see it yourself, which in a way is a good thing. This way it keeps you humble. However, you're not to become discouraged in that time, but you're to be encouraged. God has a way of putting people around us who can serve us as encouragers in our lives. We all need to be encouraged, brothers and sisters. I praise the Lord for everyone who has looked at my life and seen potential there that I couldn't see. When I needed to be encouraged, when I was discouraged, needing encouragement, I still need encouragement today in the ministry, saved for over 30 years. I still need encouragement. You never reach a place that you don't need to be encouraged. And there's a great need for that kind of ministry in the church today. Because there's always somebody who'll stand ready to criticize and to cut down. But there's very few who come alongside you during the hard times of life and lift you up. Maybe God's calling you into that kind of ministry right now for his glory. Even though you may be in a cave, even though you may be in a prison. But there's others that are in caves, others that are in prison, those that are discontented, those that need to be encouraged. Going through the pain of seeing all of his props taken away was a painful experience for David. Having to flee from the palace to hide in a cave was quite humbling. However, in that little humble hideaway, God began the process of transforming David into a great king. God took that ragtag band of men, and working through David, he transformed them into, as you'll see later on in Samuel, David's mighty men. This was a ragtag bunch of malcontents, grumbling, in debt, discontented, and they were turned into David's mighty men. These were men that realized what Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says. Brothers, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, that I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, and no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you take those two verses to heart and apply them to your life, no matter what ragtag band of motley discontents, malcontents you may be involved with or be one yourself, you can become one of Christ's mighty men or women. Because God sent these men to David in that cave, David was able to get his mind off of his problems and focus his attention on leading them and training them to be a fighting force. It was a humbling beginning, but David was focused and soon he would walk out of that cave and accept the crown. He would fulfill his destiny. He would fulfill what God had called him to. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you there is no supposing glory without pain, tribulation, heartache, cave experiences, valley experiences, training up. If there's one thing I learned in this life, is life is not easy. Life is not easy, and if it's easy for you, it's not going to be easy for those around you that come to you. And therefore, you'll enter into their burdens, their heartaches. That's what it means to minister to others, to bear one another's burdens. When your brothers and sisters are heartbroken, you're bearing their burdens with them. When you see the lost around you, in your family, in your neighborhood, on the job, your burdens, you're weighed down, knowing that if these people do not repent, that they're going to die and go to hell. You look around you, and those that are trapped in sin, trapped with the chains of drug addiction, sexual perversion, and on and on and on, and it breaks your heart. But we have the good news. We have the gospel. We have the gospel. We're to go out of the cave, and we're to be a blessing. If there's any one benefit of the cave that stands out, it is the fact that caves have the ability to focus our priorities. You learn in the cave experiences that it's not all about you. You're born into selfishness, and we live our lives being selfish people. You learn in the cave experience that life is about other people, how you can bless others. No greater love does a man have for this than to lay down his life for another. That doesn't always mean literally a life for a life, but you give your life for the priorities of others. You're willing to put others ahead of yourself. When we go into a cave experience, we soon learn what is important and what is trivial. What is important and what is trivial. The caves help us to focus like nothing else. Peter was all over the map, hot and cold, before he entered his cave experience. But when he came out of that cave, he was focused like a laser beam. That is what the cave will do for you. It'll tighten your focus onto that which is most important, finding and doing the will of God. That's the meaning of life, finding and doing the will of God. Sometimes I think that is why the Lord sends us into the caves. Illustration, Jonah's running from God. A few days, though, in that great fish, in that cave, focused his attention. And then what happens? He turns around, he repents, and he begins to run with God, to do what God has called him to do. If the cave can do that, then I guess it can't be all bad, can it? Didn't say it wasn't painful. I'm not telling you it's not going to be painful, but it will be quite glorious when you come out of it. David entered his cave, a broken and a defeated man. He emerged as the captain of an army of mighty men. He went in running from a crazy king. He came out reaching out to take that king's crown. The cave refined David's life and helped to prepare him for the task that lay ahead. He grew in that cave because he submitted to that cave. What about you? Are your cave experiences blessings to your life? Or are they burdens that seem too heavy for you to carry? If you need some help dealing with a cave experience in your life, you'll find that help with Almighty God in the presence of the Lord. Come to the Lord tonight. Come to the Lord today and trust in Him and thank Him for the cave experiences. As I said, cave experiences are very painful. I don't know too many people that say, oh, Lord, I just send me into a cave, send me into a prison. But when the Lord does send you there, and we all have them, brothers and sisters, life is full of cave experiences. The question is, what will you do with that cave experience? And my friend, if you're listening today and you're like, what's this guy talking about? Cave experiences and submitting in the cave and learning and growing in the cave. I don't know nothing about that. But I do know one thing, that my life is a mess. I'm discontented. I'm defeated. I'm depressed. I'm down and out. I'm downtrodden. Fill in the blank. I'm all of the above. Well, Christ has said, if you're heavy burdened, if you're weighed down with the cares of this life, to come to Him. For the biggest care that we all have is our sin. Our biggest burden is our sin and our slavery to sin and the wages of that sin. But the scripture says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. Based on what the scripture says, I would declare to you today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.